Okay, can you still hear us down there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's been a long time, it feels like, but
yeah,
we can say that in the show.
So we've been rolling for a while. Do you want to get started?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started here.
Delusions run strong on this podcast. Rish Outfield has them. I have them. Our guests have them. If you listen long enough, you will have delusions too.
The Journey Into podcast is proud to present This Journey Into a Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. A Journey Into Star Wars, featuring numerous delusions of grandeur.
I'm out of it. For a little while, everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Delusions of Grandeur here on the Journey Into podcast. I am your host, Marshall Latham.
And I'm your other host, Rish Outfield. Are we still doing the Delusions of Grandeur podcast?
Yes, it's incorporated with the Journey Into, but I'm keeping them separate. So I have Journey episodes, and those have their own numbering system, and then I have Delusions that are thrown in with the other journeys out there.
And do people complain?
Most people have been happy to see it show up in the same feed. So.
Oh, no, I meant do people complain when it's a Delusions episode. Ugh.
Skip. Not yet.
They will.
They might. They might just not listen. So
did you want to tell people what we're going to talk about today? Or should I do it?
Why don't you go ahead, Rish, and introduce our illustrious guest.
Oh, okay. So this last Friday, well, the 4th of September, they called Force Friday. I don't know if it was Disney or Lucasfilm or Hasbro or whose idea it was, but they decided to have just a nationwide release of the new Star Wars toys. And if stores wanted to do midnight openings, they could do that. If they wanted to have events, big activities, they could do that. And a lot of stores did. It became a big event. And I thought in the days leading up to it, hey, we ought to do a podcast about it. But we didn't actually do a podcast during Force Friday.
No. Yeah, I was kind of looking forward to, you know, announcing, and now on location, Rish Outfield at the Toys R Us.
But... yeah, that's the thing. Basically, in our town, there were three stores that were going to do Force Friday or the Midnight Madness or whatever you want to call it. It was going to be Walmart, which is open anyway, and then Target, and then Toys R Us. And I chose Toys R Us, and at the last minute I found out Target didn't even do it, so it was good that I picked Toys R Us instead. But yeah, there was a big line. You wouldn't believe
it. Take that back, huh?
Oh, you know what? I forgot. We've got a special guest in this episode. In fact, you even mentioned it, and I ignored you.
Well, make up for it now.
Okay, well, all the way from sunny Dune Steve Audio Fiction Magazine, we've got Big Anklevich with us again.
Hi, everybody. When it comes down to it, I'm the reason why it's been a long time since the last episode. Sorry.
You're a monster. So, yeah, you too participated in the Fourth Friday, I'm sure. And, boy, the stories that you probably have to tell.
Yeah. I forced myself to get out of bed on Friday. I also forced myself to get in the car and take that freaking endless commute to work. But, yeah, that's pretty much my contribution to Force Friday. That's what I did. I have to admit, I did not go to the stores, and I did not pick up any BB-8s or Kunlei Grings.
Okay.
I did manage to get to a Target It was later in the day on Friday. I wasn't there first thing. And there was several things in the stores. A lot of the Lego stuff was there. And some of the action figures. Not the bigger ones, but the smaller action figures were there. There was nothing. All the BB-8s stuff was completely gone. There was nothing there other than the model thing that spoke to you and followed you when you walked by it. But other than that, there was nothing of the BB-8s there.
Did you try looking in the sporting goods section?
I did not.
I saw a lot of BBs there.
There you go.
8-packs, Ethan.
No, I did not try that.
You gotta think sometimes. I'm sorry, Marshall, but...
So, like I said, I chose Toys R Us, and the first guy in line showed up about 6:30 p.m., and just he set out a chair. He wanted to be first in line and let everybody know he was the die-hardest Star Wars fan. And as it got later and later, the line got longer and longer until the point where I couldn't see the end of the line. There were so many people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should have counted, but I didn't. There were guys dressed as stormtroopers. There was a guy dressed as Kylo Ren in the line. And when they finally opened their doors at 12:01, they would only let 50 people in at a time. And even that was too many because it was all stuffed into the same aisle, you know? Everybody was in the Star Wars aisle. It didn't...
Nobody went to the pink Barbie aisle or anything? Yeah,
for once, no Shopkins were sold. It was all Star Wars. And it was just like you see on the, you know, whenever they show a video about Black Friday to condemn the practice and... You know, talk about how
ruthless and,
you know, we've completely misunderstood the whole point of Thanksgiving, and places force their employees to work and we become monsters. That's what it was. You know, it's just like pushing and shoving and no, me, go, go, go. I don't know. I still thought that was fun. It was neat. There were this many people super passionate about Star Wars or about toys or what is the deal. But the another thing that I found remarkable, though, was that there was not a single young person in the entire group. And I believe, Big, you said, well, yeah, because it was at midnight and young people are sleeping.
Yeah, and it was Friday, so they had school.
You're right, but
it wasn't
at the same
Saturday.
Time...
It wasn't Sith Saturday. It was Force Friday on a school week.
I guess, but I would have thought that kids would have been the only ones that cared enough about toys to do this, you know. It's like, oh gosh, I gotta have the new toy. I can't wait. I have absolutely no patience at all. But it wasn't. It was, you know, guys in their 20s, all the way to like grandparents that were all there. And it's not a single kid.
I don't think kids like toys anymore. Kids only play video games and electronics and that kind of stuff. And
you've got a 2-year-old and you got him an iPad.
All the little plastic guys, you know, nobody does anything with those anymore. That's a thing of our generation. That at the very least, it went away with millennials and whatever the kids that are being born these days are called, whatever their generation will be. Yeah, they're not even going to know what an action figure is.
Okay. All right.
Well, it might be a good thing that little kids weren't there because they might have gotten trampled. So that's probably a good thing.
Too many Kevin Smith looking guys running in there.
Oh, but that's another thing, though, is they had... Do you know who Jeffrey the Giraffe is, Marshall?
I do, yes.
Well, so he's the Toys R Us mascot.
He's a Toys R Us kid.
And some poor bastard had to wear that costume. And I saw him when he took the head off. And it was just, you know, oh, it was like Big Anklevich after 4 minutes on a treadmill. It was just a disgusting sight, this poor guy. But I was just like, why would they have a cartoon giraffe at some activity where there's no children.
The cartoon giraffe is left over from like the 80s, though, isn't he?
Okay.
So I mean, when was the last time you saw a commercial for Toys R Us with Jeffrey the giraffe on it?
That's a good point. It was all nostalgia for 30-somethings, 40-somethings.
Who last sang, I'm a Toys R Us kid, however that song
goes. Yeah, they have a new song, and it's just awful.
Because it's sung by Kesha?
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say, so Toys R Us gave out these posters that had Kylo Ren on them for the first 50 guests, and then they gave out these limited edition Lego bricks. And when I say bricks,
really?
It was a brick with a first order stormtrooper on it. And it had no worth, no value at all. It's just got a picture of a first order stormtrooper on it. And on the back, it says September 4th, 2015. And I got $10 for mine on eBay.
Well, now, I guess we didn't establish when did you show up? What time of day was it when you got there?
Oh, shoot. Should I lie and sound like, oh, I'm not one of those? Or should I tell the truth and be like, oh, hours and hours before it opened?
You were the guy with the chair?
The guy in the chair in front of me. That's how I knew how long he had been there. And we became brothers. But I did take a couple pictures. I just thought it would be fun to show people how long the line was, because I had talked to the manager at Toys R Us and I said, are people really going to show up and do this? And she said in all the years she has been running that store, they haven't done one of these midnight things. You know, sometimes like video games will come out and they'll give them the option of opening at midnight to sell a video game or whatever. And she had never done it. And so she thought, well, yeah, we may end up just, you know, closing 10 minutes after we open. No, but they made tons of money, and the lines were super long, and shelves were really bare. I had hidden a couple of figures, thinking that I could go back for them later, foolishly thinking that. And when I went back, the whole section was gone, not just, you know, the stuff that was hiding my figures. But, oh well. They did this in 1999. It was in April of 99 when the Phantom Menace toys were coming out. They did one of these Midnight Madness things. And my roommates were super into Star Wars, and so I went with them. Yeah, it's just like, oh my gosh, there's a new Star Wars movie, and we're going to buy all this stuff. And one of them, oh boy, he spent like $300, back when $300 meant something. And because I was there, I felt obligated to buy a little Darth Maul toy, which was fine. You know, I have no idea what they cost in those days. Probably $4.99, something like that. But $5.99.
Yeah, I think $4.99 is a little optimistic. It was at least $5.99, I'd say.
Well, and it was Toys R Us, so it was probably $6.99. But face of this new movie, or at least of the marketing, is all Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I don't know when I first even learned this guy's name. It must have been from you, Marshall. I remember we were sitting at Big's table and you were saying the names of these characters, right? And who was going to be playing them?
Yeah.
See, I was there, I guess, if we were at my table. I don't remember. So Kylo Ren is the black stormtrooper guy?
No, he's the guy that looks like Darth Revan from the...
Oh.
You know, he's got
the
cape
and the
hood.
He's like the bad guy
and
has the lightsaber with the flames out the side.
Right, that's that guy's name. Okay. Is Kylo Ren, and he's on all of the merchandise, just the same way that Darth Maul
Darth
was on
Maul
the,
from
all the merchandise in 99. But we know so little about Kylo Ren, and a lot of these things, this was my first exposure to like what their characters' names are. I think you had told me, Marshall, that the girl's name is Rey and the black stormtrooper's name is Finn. But I had forgotten that. It wasn't until I saw toys that said Rey and Finn on them that it solidified. Oh, okay, that's what these guys are. And then there's this guy. What's the X-Wing pilot's name?
What is his name? Because they had a lot of X-Wings there, too, when I was there.
I think his name is Tebow.
Well,
Tim Tebow, isn't it?
You take that back right now. I will have none of that talk during my podcast. My guess is his name is like Poe Dameron or something like that.
Okay, that's close to Tim Tebow.
Does that sound right to you, Marshall?
That sounds right.
Not the Tim Tebow stuff, but Tebow was an Ewok.
That totally, yeah. That does it sound like a Star Wars guy? What about Peebo? Is that it? Peebo Bryson.
Bryson, yes. He helped defeat the Empire on Endor, and he did that famous duet of Beauty and the Beast. Marshall, is it Poe Dameron?
Poe Dameron, yeah, that's who it is.
Okay. So that's the guy who with the famous line in the trailer, woohoo! And and then Captain Phasma.
You know, when I first saw that, I thought that was a joke.
And Captain Phasma is the one that Gwendolyn Christie plays, who's the gray stormtrooper with a cape. And for some reason, I am obsessed with Captain Phasma. I was like, oh, I need a Phasma toy. And I need a statue. And I need, and again, I know nothing. She could be on the screen as long as Bossk was in Empire Strikes Back. But we don't know.
Yeah, we don't
know. Well, Bossk is your favorite guy. I think when we were at our last Comic-Con, we were talking about that. And, you know, you needed to have that thing that you liked more than anyone else, that you were the biggest fan of, and you decided to go with Bossk. So maybe now you can just step right into Phasma.
Okay, all right.
Phasma, wow, that one is not, that just doesn't roll off the tongue like Tebow.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I thought it was Captain Plasma. And I thought, well, that has nothing to do with Star Wars. That must be like an old cartoon or something from Japan or something, Captain Plasma. But then I reread it and realized it was Phasma.
It's like plasma or it's like phantasm, right? It's in between those two things?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it looks cool on the trailer, teaser trailers, but yeah, I don't know much about what Captain Phasma's all about.
Well, when this thing is all said and done, you and I need to do an episode where we talk about Captain Phasma. Because is it because I know it's a woman stormtrooper that I'm like, oh, that's so cool? Is it because I know it's Brienne of Tarth, who I like from Game of Thrones? Or is it just the design of the character? Why do I like Captain Phasma so much?
It's probably because it's different. Stormtroopers were always just stormtroopers before, and now we're getting different layers of and types of stormtroopers, kind of a ranking of it. So I think it's just, this is something different. A tall stormtrooper, different looking armor.
Well, all stormtroopers were tall because that's why Leia said he was a little short for a stormtrooper, right?
Right. And it's a woman, and it's just, it's evocative. It's different.
So what was your experience, Marshall, on Force Friday? You said you went a little later.
Yeah, it was in the afternoon, and when I first walked in, I noticed the Target that I went into, they had the stormtrooper, you know, window stickers on their door. There was a big poster of Chewbacca, and he growled at me as I walked by. And that was in the front of the store. So I got over to the toy section, and they had some big displays and big posters and stuff all around that area where the toys were. There was several people in the aisles looking. I mean, it wasn't, I'm sure, what you experienced, Rish, but there was several families there with their kids and stuff. There was a couple girls there that really liked the plushy, fuzzy Chewbacca thing that they had there. There were a couple kids, a couple different kids, that were really interested in getting the little Lego speeder bike thing that Rey uses. Or you see it in the trailer, one of the first trailers.
The thing that looks like a razor?
Yeah, or a USB stick or something like that. But I was kind of interested that they were more in, they were thought that was cool, and they wanted to get that Lego set rather than some of the X-Wings or other things that were there. There was still quite a few lightsabers there. But like I said, there was nothing. There was a whole section where you could see there used to be, you know, stuff where BB-8 models were, but those were all gone. And that's really, that's the biggest thing that I'd be interested in having is one of those app-enabled, you know, voice-activated BB-8 things. I think that would be pretty cool.
That's funny. I felt the same way. I of all the things, that's the one I wanted. Do you know if it'll just work on any phone, or do you have to have an Apple product?
I think it'll, well, I don't know. I'm assuming it'll have an app for any type, you know, Android or iPhone or whatever.
Interesting. Of all the things that there were that I really thought would be probably awesome to own was Fur Baka.
Wait, what?
Fur Baka. It's a Furby Chewbacca. It's so awesome. It comes with like an app that you can, like a digital pet or something like that, where you have to like feed it, and you can like hatch little Star Wars Furby Furblings on your app on this Fur Baka. So cool.
Are you making this up?
No, it's only $79.99.
Okay, now I know you're joking. You don't want something like that.
Oh, I want it, and I want it bad.
But speaking of which, I think the BB-8 was $79.99, wasn't it?
Well, there are several different ones. There's just a little pop vinyl one, and then there's a plush BB-8. And then there's an interactive one that will kind of go around. It'll still go around and do search patterns and stuff like that. And then there's the big one that is the app-enabled, voice-controlled one.
Do they have a Roomba BB-8 that you can get that'll vacuum your floor for you?
That's what they need, man.
Well, how big, Marshall, is that big one, the one that you're looking up?
Say, it says it's palm size, roughly 4 inches. So it's a pretty small device. I think the other one that I was talking about that isn't voice activated or anything, it seemed like it was a little bit bigger. Yeah, it's a 12-inch, so it's a little bit bigger model. And that one goes for $45, and the app-enabled one goes for $150.
So. Oh, wow. That's almost double what I thought it was.
And then there's one that's 9 inches tall that you have a little keypad that you control it on, you know, just like a RC car or something like that. And that one goes for $80.
Okay, that's the one that I saw the empty pegs for at Target.
Yeah, it seems like a Fur Baka would be a much better deal.
Would you stop with the Fur Baka, man? Nobody wants that, least of all you. Okay, but wait, sorry. Let me point the microphone at Big here. Let me go back. Marshall, so what did you buy?
I actually haven't bought anything at this point.
Okay, well, forget that I ever asked that then. I'll go back and ask. Because I was going to say, all of us bought something except for Big. What is his problem? But I won't say that now. Why did you not get all into this Force Friday thing? Why have you bought none of the new Star Wars stuff?
Well, I'm really excited about this new movie that's coming up. Okay? I admit it. I am excited. I'm not over the moon excited like some of the Kevin Smith looking dudes that came into the store with you that night. And I think basically the reason why is, you know, every time I look at those toys and in the back of my mind there's a voice saying, hey, that costs 7 whoopee whoopee. I can't get rid of that specter of the prequels. See, I bought toys. I mean, you talked about Force Friday from 1999 when all these toys suddenly became available and you bought yourself a Darth Maul not knowing who the hell Darth Maul was, what he was going to do, not knowing that he was only going to have 4 lines. Countable on one hand, not knowing anything. You know, I remember reading an article in a magazine right before the movie came out where they were talking about, oh, Jar Jar Binks, he's gonna be that toy that you, when you're walking into your kid's room and you accidentally step on and it hurts your foot so bad, because every kid's gonna want a Jar Jar Binks.
On second thought, no, not really, no.
Jar Jar Binks is the funny guy from the show.
He's a dying here.
And he's going to be so great and everybody's going to want to. And after the movie came out, it's just like, oh, I can't even get my money back for the Jar Jar Binks that I bought.
That's the last thing Misa wanted.
There's nothing I can do to unload this on eBay. It took me 10 years to finally find somebody that would buy it on eBay. And they just wanted it for a YouTube video where they melted him. Just to show how fun it was to melt a Jar Jar Binks. I don't want to buy toys for a movie that I haven't seen yet. I mean, we talked about it way back when they first announced that they were going to make Star Wars sequels. And we said, you know what? I'm down with this because they can't be any worse than the prequels were. You know, no matter what they do, they cannot be that bad. That's as low as anything can go, and they're not going to go lower. And sure, that's true, but they can be as bad as the prequels. I find it really unlikely. I mean, J.J. Abrams is not an idiot. He's a good filmmaker. He doesn't make boring, worthless, the kind of movies you never want to see a second time. So it's not going to be as bad as the prequels were.
Where is it going?
But I don't know if it's going to resonate with me, if I'm going to watch it and just be like, Iron Man 3 was probably better. I don't want to have a bunch of toys for something like that, where I'm just like, yeah, it's BB-8. I really hated BB-8. I wish I didn't buy this toy because he was the most annoying thing. He was like the Minions of this Star Wars movie. Why did I buy BB-8? You know what I mean? I don't know. I only have so much money to blow on stuff. And so, yeah, that's basically my reason. I don't want to buy something for a movie that I haven't seen yet. And I'm sure the toys are gonna still be around. It's not like there's not gonna be BB-8s or Kylo Rens or Poe Guanabaras or Rays and whatever, all these guys, they're going to be around 2 months from now after the movies come out. Then you can go to the store and be like, this guy was my favorite, I'm getting him and putting him up on my shelf.
That was my thought as well. I thought the toys were cool and stuff, but I did feel that they would be there for a while, even, you know, before and after the movie comes out. So I wasn't in too big of a hurry to get it. I mean, I'm sure for Christmas it might be... You might not be able to get them because everybody wants to get it for Christmas or whatever, but they'll probably still be there after Christmas, too.
Yeah, it's hopefully possible that maybe you won't get the Kylo Ren with the cloth cape or the Captain Phasma that has the big gun. Maybe you can only get the next wave that comes out with the one with the plastic cape or something, but... Also, there's eBay. I mean, Rish sold his brick for $10 on eBay. Those things are going to be available on, and there's the market's going to be so glutted with them on eBay that you'll probably be able to get them for possibly even less than what the poor guys selling them paid for them. You know, just give it a little time. You know, that's kind of the way things go. So it seems like it's not worth A, to be there at midnight on a day that I have to be at work the next morning. But also, I want to wait and see how I feel about it. You know what I mean? Maybe this is the episode where it's like, yeah, well, that one was kind of crappy. But episode 8 and 9, now those were good. And that's kind of why I was not as gung-ho about Force Friday as everybody else.
So, Rish,
did I bring you all down? Did I ruin the vibe of this episode?
Well, I asked. I guess I knew what was coming. But what about the Furbacca?
Well, Furbacca I want. I mean, everybody wants a Furbacca, obviously. And it seems like $79.99 is pretty much a great deal for something like that. I mean, the things you can do with like being able to hatch virtual Furby Furblings, Star Wars Furby. I mean, wow. The things that you, and you know, Furby, he learns as you talk to him. It's something special.
Do you see what I have to put up with, Marshall?
Yeah, that's
no Parsec Award is worth this.
So, Rish, do you know, were there any items that are like first edition or limited edition stuff that's only on sale at this time or before the movie comes out or Force Friday exclusives kind of thing?
No, I think Big is probably right. You know, every store has their own little exclusives and things that only they will be selling. And, you know, you can get a variant Kylo Ren set in some kind of snow environment that comes with a stand if you're willing to go to a Kmart.
Whoa, so, that's asking a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck. You're gonna need it.
Yeah, there's just gonna be more and more and more. And one of the things that Toys R Us had was this big poster of toys that you could buy And a lot of them were coming fall 2015 or coming November 2015. So yeah, there's lots of more to come. And that reminds me of something, though, that I found very interesting. Whoever makes these decisions has really made it difficult to find certain characters. Like, I defy you, Marshall, to find an old Han Solo or an old Luke or an old Leia, R2, 3PO, or I think there were Chewbacca's. You could find Chewbacca's because he looks identical to how he used to look.
Yeah.
But everything that came out on this Force Friday is these new characters, introducing you to Rey or to Poe Dameron or to, you know, Captain Phasma or a myriad First Order stormtroopers or First Order TIE pilots and all this stuff. They had to have made a conscious decision to say no Luke, Han, or Leia.
Yeah, true. And
why? Why do you think that that would be the case?
Maybe they're obviously in the film, but they might not as be as involved as we thought they were. Maybe they are just characters in the background that you see them a few times and they have some key scenes. But maybe they're not as big. But it could just also be a marketing thing where they want to introduce these new characters and get everybody excited about that instead of focusing on the older characters. One of the things I noticed looking through some of the online stuff of what is available, all the Millennium Falcon sets and stuff. No, I guess they do. It does have a gray-haired Han here, a Lego gray-haired Han, and what looks like could be a Leia figure with the Millennium Falcon. And, of course, Chewbacca's there and Finn. So I don't know if Finn's going to be the new pilot or what's going on with him either.
Okay, but that also comes with Finn and Rey and BB-8 and then a couple of, I assume they're bad guys, maybe not. Guys that where we don't know their names anymore or yet. We don't know their names yet. But you're right. Yeah, there is an old gray-haired Han Solo in that Lego set if you're willing to spend, what, $150?
Yeah, $150 for that one. Yeah.
I don't know how they get away with that with Legos. How do they justify charging so freaking much for their sets?
You used to be able to buy like a huge pail of Legos, and now you have to buy everything in their own set. It's kind of...
Yeah, how do they sell anything? Whatever.
People kids spend hundreds of dollars on Legos. And see, I was never a Lego guy growing up. As a kid or anything like that, I never had Legos. So I didn't have that built into me of, oh yeah, you buy the kid Legos when he turns 6 or whatever that is. But yeah, even the ones that aren't licensed, you know, something else, that are actually owned by the Lego company, are always $50, $60, $70.
Yeah, my kids love Legos, but I don't know how they can even love them because they never get them because they're too dang expensive. But whatever.
I guess this is a question to both of you. Were there any other items that have come out or will come out that you're excited about other than the interactive BB-8 or the remote control BB-8?
Well, the one thing that I'm really excited about is Furbacca.
You piece of crap! Shut up about Furbacca!
Other than Furbacca. Sorry, I forgot to take that one off the list.
Okay, well, you know those lightsabers, the really expensive ones? I guess there's one with Kylo Ren that has the little blades on the side. What do we call those extra blades?
I always think of them as like flares.
Okay.
But I don't know.
What light hilt. Or not.
Anyway, my cousin said, if you ever see one of those, buy it for me. And I looked and yeah, they're like $159 if you can find them anywhere. And so I'm probably not going to be buying one of those. But I would like the remote control BBA and I would like a Captain Phasma figure. Right now all I have are these little tiny figurines that are like cake topper type things that Disney Store sells.
Oh yeah.
And so that's how I got a BB-8 and a Captain Phasma, is because it just came in that set. Disney Store has a bunch of metal, die-cast metal figures that are exclusive to them, and there was a Captain Phasma and I really wanted it, but not enough to spend the $40 that it's going for on eBay. But Big does have a point, though. If I bought this Captain Phasma and then She doesn't turn out to be anything, or I don't enjoy the movie all that much. Yeah, I guess he's right. I would feel dumb. I would feel like, oh, shoot. And it would probably be way better to just see the movie in December and then go to the store. Like he said, right after you've gone to the movie and you're hearing that John Williams score in your head and you scoop up the things that most spoke to you. Although, it just seems like everybody's going to want it Han, Luke, and Leia. Just because we already love those characters. And so maybe that's why they don't exist yet, is they want us to learn to love Captain Phasma.
Those will come out after?
Yeah, I don't know. The funny thing for me, I was thinking about...
Now, by the way, if you mention Fur Baca, I will friggin' kill you.
I guess I don't have anything to say then. Your turn, Marshall.
The only other item I saw was the remote control quadcopter version of a Millennium Falcon and an X-Wing. That looked pretty cool.
Oh, they're like yeah, drones.
I saw those. Yeah, they're the air hogs or whatever helicopter. Oh, those were actually really cool. I would love to have one of those. They had speeder bikes, I think, like that too.
Oh, did they? I didn't see those.
And yeah. They actually fly?
Yeah, you go it, just like the little mini helicopters that you can have, you fly around in your house and stuff. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
The thing that I am kind of sad about, though, is I've been steadily getting a few spaceships here and there to hang from the ceiling in my study. And I would really like to get, some of the old Star Wars stuff, like an X-Wing. I have a Star Destroyer. And I just very recently got a little Slave One. Hot Wheels put out these tiny little ones, and I got the Slave One and hung that one up. But I'd like to get a Millennium Falcon. I don't know what the difference is going to be, if there is going to be a difference to the new ones. Maybe I could just get one of the new ones, but I'd like to get a Millennium Falcon to hang up. And, you know, an X-Wing, too. Would be cool to have, but I'm afraid that they, you know, to find one that looks like the original trilogy is going to be awful hard now, probably for a while. It'll be all...
Yeah, they'll all be black and orange X-Wings.
Yeah, it'll be all new school
black stuff TIE fighters.
Instead of the stuff from back in the day, and I don't know. Maybe I'll like it enough that I want... I mean, I actually had a Slave One from... The new movie from the prequels, the Jango Fett Slave One ship. And I eventually sold it on eBay because it didn't look the same as the Slave One did from when Boba Fett drove it. And I was just like, I don't need this anymore. And so I sold it. Which was sad because I kept it in like perfect shape and it had all the little bombs that it could drop and the missiles that you could shoot out of it and all this stuff. It was really cool, but there was no emotional attachment to this thing. And so I was just like, meh, I guess I'll sell it. And so I did. I'm hoping that I will like this new trilogy and all the other stuff that comes along with it enough that I'll forget all about all those... disappointing days of the prequels. I'm assuming the at least the Millennium Falcon will look pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's got a rectangular radar dish now instead of a circular one.
Oh, right, because they broke the one off at the end.
I guess, but it's been 30 years. They could have found a round one if they wanted to.
Well, why would you get a new one if you got one that fit and then, you know, you're not going to be like, well, that one's square, though. I don't like that. I gotta find me a round one. I'll just keep checking back with Watto and seeing if he's got any spare parts for me.
You're looking for a radar dish, huh?
There's a story in that. You should write a story about Han Solo going to Watto.
Oh, it's Tidarian. What is the name? What is the...
Carillion Corvette, yeah.
I guess, right?
Says, what is... Oh, what Nubian! Is... That good ship is a Nubian, yes. Oh gosh, there were so many awful characters. You know, I saw this one thing where they were talking about just the other day, they were talking about like some of the darkest crap that's been on film, and one of them, they were talking about the pod race, And they're like, there's that guy that just goes, grrr, or whatever. He's like this blue-faced guy, and that's all he does. Grrr, and he makes this noise. And they're like, and here he is. And he said the name of him, whatever the crap his name was. I don't know. And they're like, yeah, you might remember him from later on, where he's flying along. He looks over his shoulder, and then he looks back, and oh, there's a stalactite hanging from the ceiling. And he goes, grrr, and then he bursts into flames. It's one of the deaths that's sad. But now let's go back to the start. And they go back to the start where they're like, hey, everybody, and here's the people racing. It's this stupid two-headed alien guy that's like Howard Cosell and then Howard Cosell that speaks a different language. And they're like, yes, and here he is. And oh, look, there's his wife and kids. And they show the little baby guys of this. And the wife, and like, she just got out of the hospital today and made it to the race. And she's got like a little baby blue alien in her arms. And they're like waving, ah, yay. And then the dad goes and blows up and dies and goes, rah, and dies. And of course we've already forgotten that this guy had his family there with him. But yeah, I mean, seriously, she just got out of the hospital in time to see him blow up and die. How did they feel as everyone mobbed Anakin and said, yay, great job, Anakin, for winning the pod race. And then they brought the crispy burned carcass of their father out to them. Sorry about that. Anyways, that's beside the point, though. What was I saying before I got onto that? I forgot.
I have no... Was it about Furbacca, maybe?
Probably, yeah. Furbacca is... I mean, that's just a cool toy. I'd really like to have one. Someday.
So Rish, what did you actually end up buying on Force Friday?
I bought a 6-inch Kylo Ren figure and that little set of Disney store figurines. That's all I got. Oh, sorry, should I lie and make it sound like I was one of those guys that spent $400 or $500? I was behind them at the register.
I think you had told me that you had set some aside or something like that and went back and they were gone.
Right, yeah, there were a couple that I was going to get, so I hid them because, you know, the line was just too crazy. There was too many people, and yeah, when I went back, it was all gone. And so I had to ask a Toys R Us employee to save me a Kylo Ren from the next shipment, and that's how I got one.
Oh, okay, it was a Kylo Ren.
You should have hid them behind the Furbacas. Because it turns out those weren't all gone. No. I don't understand, because it's the best toy they had.
Nobody wants...
They were the ones that were left, oddly enough.
Sorry, Marshall, have you seen this thing? It is so ugly. It's not cute at all. You know what a Furby is, right?
Yeah.
You've got a daughter or five.
Yeah.
Furbies suck, by the way. I don't get the fascination with Furbies. I remember it was one of those toys that was so impossible to get in like 2004 or whatever, that people were killing one another over Furbies. You're supposed to kill one another over the color of your skin or the god you pray to, not toys. Sorry, what did I say that out loud? Furbacca. Maybe you're right, babe. Maybe it is really cool. No, it's ugly and it's
awesome.
Stupid.
Awesome. So awesome.
Have you seen it, Marshall?
I've seen it, yeah. That's an older one, isn't it?
Oh, is it old? I had no, I'd never seen it before this week. But if you love your children, you will not buy them a Furbacca.
No, it looks pretty hideous.
Because one day that'll come back. Your daughter will say, what I really needed, Marshall, because, you know, she hates you so much she calls you by your first name instead of dad. What I really needed was a father, and you gave me a Furbacca.
That'll be a sad day.
Yeah, but the Furbacca goes... Marshall can't do that.
Is that right, Marshall?
That's true. No, I'm not very good at that.
Okay, well then, you know, you sort of break even then.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I need to show my kids a list of all the toys and see if they're interested in any of this, if they'd want it or not. But I'm guessing they like my R2-D2 that's interactive, so they'd probably like an interactive BB-8.
They'd probably like an interactive Furbacca.
Stop it! So, Marshall, I feel like we've reached the end of this conversation. Can you tell the listeners what they can expect in future episodes of Journey into Delusions of Grandeur, Audio Fiction Magazine?
Well, we have some Star Wars fan fiction coming up on the podcast.
Bantas are filthy animals. I don't eat filthy animals.
A couple months ago, we were talking about what Luke Skywalker's life might have been on like on Tatooine. And I thought, I want to write a story about young Luke Skywalker, like years before he meets, you know, Han and Leia. And of all the stuff I've written, this was probably the most pleasurable writing experience I've had. It, just from beginning to end, I was like, this is so much fun. I'm in the Star Wars universe. Oh, this is awesome. I contradicted the hell out of the prequels.
You should not have come back.
Or I can choose to believe that they contradicted me.
Don't make me destroy you.
But, yeah, I wrote this story and I sent you a copy and I thought, well, let's do it on the show. And that's still our plan, right? Or did you read it and you're like, oh, no, we're not going to be doing that.
No, that's definitely our plan. I've read through it. I'm excited to talk about it. So kind of would like to get an Aunt Beru voice in there.
Luke.
Coming, Aunt Beru.
Exactly. So I don't know. I was trying to think of who could pull that off pretty well. I don't know if that fits Renee very well for Aunt Beru. But I was trying to think of somebody that could be. So if you have any ideas, then let me know about that. But
your wife could be Aunt Beru if you wanted, just because she's female, you know? And
all she says is, Luke,
your blue milk's getting warm.
Have you read it, Big?
I have not. Rish doesn't share anything with me anymore. Those days are gone, I think.
And I know that you have done some fan fiction yourself, or maybe you're right on the cusp, Marshall, of doing some. And this might be the push that you need to get some of your stuff on here as well.
Yeah. There's some ideas that I have, Star Wars related. So it's a quest that Jar Jar Binks goes on. And it's why he gets exiled from the underwater city.
Are you lying?
Of course I'm lying.
Okay. I was like, oh no. Somebody actually does love Jar Jar. Next we'll be presenting Icky Icky Goo by Marshall Latham.
No, that I have some ideas though. So this might prompt me to do it.
That's the last thing Misa wanted.
Woofy woofy.
One of the things that I hoped for though, as I was reading through your story, I'm like, man, this would be great to, you know, if I could get somebody that has all the sound effects for Star Wars and they could do this Skyhopper race and do all the sound effects and stuff. That would be really cool. I think it'd be a little too much for me to do that.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to just do it like me, like I do on some of the Dune Steve episodes when I produce it, and the sounds are... It's just me making the noise, and then I play with, like, the pitch and hope nobody catches on that it's me. It would be a lot of work.
You know, I'd want to make it sound really expert, and I don't think I could... do that in the time that I have, but that'd be pretty cool to make the race sound really like you were there.
You just need to get the two-headed announcer and it'll totally work.
there's the blue-headed alien's wife. Just barely stitched up from her trip to the hospital. They gave her a cesarean section or whatever they call that on Tatooine. The doctor told her no stress at all or she might bleed out.
But she's still here to see her husband race.
That's right. She's in a very delicate condition. Any disappointment today would kill her.
Or you could play the angle where she sabotaged him.
That's why the guy went, rah, rah. Hey, if I've offended anybody that's listening, I still think that pod race is a very, very well-made scene. Very well directed, well shot, great special effects, great sound effects. I like the pod race.
I did have one more question for Big. In your excitement for the new movie, what have the trailers helped you with that? Have those excited you?
Oh, yeah, the trailers have been amazing. I think the last time Rish and I went to see a movie together, I want to say it was Mission Impossible, and they showed the trailer before that. And yeah, he leaned over to me and said, man, if they have awards for trailers, That one should get, because it hits every little thing that you need to hit. It's like the perfect trailer.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it ends perfectly with that joke of, you are redonkulous. You are a catastrophe.
What? I think you're confusing it.
Oh, you're right. No, yeah, no, it ends with the perfect ending where, you know, Chewie, we're home. It couldn't be better. It couldn't make you more excited, I don't think. And I kind of don't want to see any more trailers because I don't want anything to be spoiled. I'll be happy to see the movie when the movie comes out. I don't need to see the movie before the movie comes out.
I'm hoping they're going to keep it tight-lipped. I guess that's one more thing about these toys. I guess they haven't been too spoilerific, other than a lot of details as characters and vehicles and stuff like that. But
yeah,
still not a lot of plot points.
Okay, well, I feel like we've reached the end of our rope. Big is just itching to mention the Furbacca again, and so I think we'll let people go their way.
It's time to put a stop to that.
But I mean, you can hatch virtual eggs that have Star Wars Furby Furblings in them.
Folks, if you'd like to donate to the podcast, we will try to get Big a Furbacca by Christmas. Just donate. You can donate any amount as long as it's $79.99. And thank you in advance for that.
See, and Wookiee's hatching eggs. I mean, that just contradicts the Christmas special, so we can't have that. Well, thanks, guys. I'm glad we're able to talk about this and get the podcast out there. Thanks for your time.
Have we said goodbye? Or
no, that's what I'm attempting to do, to close the episode.
Well, thanks for staying up late with us, Marshall.
Hey, you bet. And we'll be back with that fan fiction here before you know it. Oh, and I did want to mention, if you have questions for us on the podcast, we now have a voicemail line that you can call in and ask your questions or make your comments.
Oh, really?
It's 77J-Into-107. So you can call and ask us questions, leave us comments, anything you'd like us to talk about. We can answer your voicemail here on the podcast.
Well, that's exciting, man. And I can already hear people not calling.
So we're gonna have to do something shocking to make them call. I'll leave that to their imaginations. But thanks, guys, and we'll come back and talk more Star Wars in a few weeks or something.
I hope so.
Bye.
Thank you, Big, for being with us today. And really, if you think about it, every Friday is a Force Friday, if you push hard enough.
I don't know, that joke seemed a little forced.
Oh, you...
Well, may the Force be with you.
On Fridays.
He said a beautiful thing and you had to ruin it.
This is still... Oh, it wasn't recording.
Mother of Hitler!
That's what I was gonna ask you that when we started. Are you sure you're recording?
Hello, I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations, and I can readily translate what our repugnant, oozing, bad-tempered friend is saying is that the Delusions of Grandeur podcast has been released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. He would stress that while you may share the show with any of human or Jawa kind, you cannot sell it or alter the files. Oh, but I quite like them. They made me their king. Ooh. All right. They license specifically bars Ewoks from listening to the show. I'm terribly sorry. Good night.
Can you tell the listeners what they can expect in future episodes of Delusions of Grandeur?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's coming up. I know we do want to talk about John Williams at one point. We are definitely going to talk about the movie after it happens, but at this point, I'm not sure if we have any any future plans. Except for, so that's what you're going. Yes, Rish, we do have some plans. It's a, we have some fan fiction, some Star Wars fan fiction coming up.
What?
On the podcast. Brings a whole new meaning to the word moisture evaporator, that's for sure.